Landry. 1-800-449-8666.
Now, KDNG, K-Doug, presents Skippy and Frank. Yes, K-Doug. Alternative 97.1. Serving the entire polymer and rubber-producing southwest region of Ohio. We rock, you roll. K-Dung. K-Dung.
Come on, all right, Skippy and Frank Show here. K-Dung, right. Hi, how we doing?
I got a really big thing. Gene Simmons has got a new book out.
All right, Gene Simmons, the kid's got a new book out. And, I think it's just fantastic. Gene Simmons is my hero.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Gene Simmons is my hero. You know why?
I know why.
Got a tongue on it. Things like a red carpet. Just roll that thing out. Come on, baby. Take a stroll down a red carpet on this tongue of mine.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. You think his tongue's real? You think his tongue is real?
I don't know. I tell you what we'll do. Let's go up to Colonel Bud Hall now. See Colonel Bud Hall. Got the traffic out there. Skippy and Frank out on the move. See what's going on. Colonel Bud Hall?
Right on down to Skippy and Frank, right on down South 55 Freeway. Is everybody tracking? And Skippy and Frank, you guys are a couple of assholes.
All right, thanks a lot, Commander Butthole. You like call a butthole?
I really love to mess with a guy's name.
Yeah. The Skippy and Frank Show's a little bit after 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock here on the Skippy and Frank Show. So we're talking about Gene Simmons. And I gotta tell you something.
What do you think about him?
Oh, the guy's tongue is incredible. It's incredible. I wish that. How can a guy play guitar with a tongue that big? Does it get in the way of where hitting the key, hitting the?
Well, we'll take a break while you look for that word and go to Commander Bud Hall.
Okay, Skippy and Frank. Skippy, the word you're looking for is strings, you stupid ass. All right, traffic out there right now is 595 on the 15th Freeway. It's Skippy and Frank Show, Commander Bud Hall. Traffic.
Hit the strings. That's the word I'm looking for. Strings, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, that guy's tongue is incredible. That just sounds like I go to a party. I got more this nose is leaving in 5 minutes, and you better be on it.
No kidding.
Come on, clap your hands.
All right, so what Skippy's going to do, Skippy, I guess you want to make your tongue bigger, huh?
I want to make my tongue bigger. That's what's missing in my life. I want to make my tongue bigger. And what we're going to do, and we're going to do this for charity, too, to Swenson's Meats Youth Club. As you know, every dollar that you spend on Swenson's Meat, another dollar goes to the Swenson's Meat Youth Club. And if you really want to help the youth of today, just go down to Swenson's and get your hands on some of their meat. Yes, if you want to help the youth of today, put your hands on Swenson's meat.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go with Commander Bud Hall and the traffic helicopter. Commander Bud Hall, are you there? You're there, right?
I'm right here, guys. Give me a break.
What we want to do, Bud, is I want you to dangle me from where I'm going to tie a rope around my tongue.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tie the other end of the rope around the helicopter.
Okay.
And then I want you to take off and stretch my tongue out.
Skippy and Frank, I got to tell you, I think that's, it's going
to
hurt you.
I just want you to do it, okay? General Manager says, and the program director, I'm the host of the morning show, you're just the traffic guy.
Okay, asshole, you want me to tie a rope around your tongue, is that it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'll see you after the music. You want to treat me like that on the air? You watch what happens.
You just do your job, okay? Now, this is a Skippy and Frank show, this is a show, this isn't hosted by the traffic guy, okay?
Yeah, okay, I get it.
You get it?
Yeah, sure, I get it.
Now, you're going to tie a rope around my tongue, you're going to tie the other rope around the helicopter, and you're going to take off as fast as you can so I can stretch my tongue out and get all kinds of checks like Gene Simmons. You understand?
Yes, I understand. I don't like being humiliated on the air.
Just shut your mouth. You're the traffic guy. You queer.
Yeah, that's right. You're queer.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do what you say.
Right. You be ready. You be on the ground. Meet me on the ground right after song.
You keep on shouting. You keep on shouting.
K-Dung, Skippy and Frank, the bad boys of rock radio, will be right back. Skippy's gonna get his tongue stretched out to see if he can get more tang.
Welcome back to Skippy and Frank Show. Let's miss at 5 o'clock. All right, I'm gonna go outside, okay, Frank?
All right, you go outside. I'll hold down the fort here. Don't let that traffic guy tell you what to do either.
That traffic guy's a jackass. He's a jackass. You drive us wild.
All right, this is Frank, and Skippy's going outside right now, and we'll see if we can get Commander Butthole. Commander Butthole. Hey, bud, are you there?
I told you guys I don't want to be called that.
Well, that's too bad. We're the host of the morning show. You're just Commander Butthole who does the traffic.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, Skippy's going to be coming out there in just a minute. Is he there?
Yeah, here he is right now.
Okay, Skippy, I'm outside right now. Okay, the helicopter's on the ground. We're going to take off in just a minute. And just tie the rope around my tongue.
I really think this is dangerous. I don't...
Just shut up and tie the rope around my tongue.
All right, I'm tying the rope around his tongue right now, Frank.
Okay, now Skippy wants to make his tongue as long as Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons got the longest tongue. I mean, this guy has got, he gets more tang than any other guy I know because he's got that tongue about a mile long. Right, Skippy?
That's going to be great, man. Well, my tongue is about 2 miles long. I got all kinds of jokes. This place is leaving in 5 minutes. You better be on it.
You guys have already done that joke, okay?
Just let us do the show, okay?
All right, I'm tying the rope around his tongue.
Now pull around the helicopter.
What?
Pull around the helicopter.
I'm tying it around the helicopter. I am warning both of you. This is a very dangerous thing to do. This helicopter has got a lot of horsepower, and it...
Don't do that! You don't do what I'm telling you now!
Yeah, you do what he tells you to do, okay?
All right, but I'm not taking responsibility for any injury that he may suffer.
Just do what he wants you to do. He wants to have a big, long tongue like Gene Simmons. He's going to have a big, long tongue like Gene Simmons. That is Frank of the Skippy and Frank Show. How you doing there, Skippy?
I'm doing very good. All right, well, I give you the signal, Commander. I'd like you to make this helicopter go up, okay?
Huh?
I said, well, I give the signal, I want you to make the helicopter go up, okay?
I guess you want me to make the helicopter go up when you give me the signal, is that it?
Yes, that's right. There you go. What a brain surgeon.
A what?
A brain surgeon.
I don't understand.
The medical scientist.
I don't understand.
All right, just never mind, you jackass. Do it. Now we're going to have Commander Butthole take off in that helicopter with the rope tied around it, and Skippy's on the ground with the rope tied around his tongue, and he's got to have a tongue just like Gene Simmons in just a few seconds. All right, you ready?
I'll go down lower so you
can
hear what's going on, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'm bringing it in for landing now.
All right, let's see. Hey. All right, you on the ground now?
We're on the ground right now, and Skippy, how you doing?
Skippy, are you okay? You want to what?
I said I'm going to get my liver.
I can't understand.
I think he's saying with a tongue like this, I want to get laid. I think.
Well, how long is the tongue anyway?
Oh, Jesus.
How long is the tongue? Give it to me straight.
Well, it's miles. It just goes on for miles.
You said something about Little League?
I think he said he wants to get laid and play Little League. I don't know.
Well, Skippy's tongue is stretched so long and so weird, we can't understand what he's saying. Hey, Skippy. Say something like, you know, if you see a girl walking by, what would you say to her? K-Dung will be right back with the Skippy and Frank Show on the Phil Hendry Show. And like that.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show. All right, so what do we got here? We got a struggling Nigerian law school student goes on a campus shooting spree, shoots two people. Three others are injured. He eventually is tackled by students. We got the word today that that Robert Reed guy, the guy who tried to set fire to his shoes, was connected to Al-Qaeda. And with all of that going on, people still want to talk about Chandra Levy, huh? And this is the first confirmed ass-kicking of an Al-Qaeda by passengers on an airplane. So let's look on the positive side of that. The airline passenger accused of trying to ignite explosives in his shoes. Let's be clear. He was trying to light his shoes on fire. Yes, I know he was trying to ignite explosives, but apparently that was the dumbest way to do it. He was indicted Wednesday on charges of being an Al-Qaeda-trained terrorist whose goal is to blow up the plane and kill the 200 people aboard. Richard Reed, a 28-year-old British citizen and convert to Islam, could get five life sentences if convicted. The indictment, issued by a federal grand jury in Boston, alleges that he attempted to kill the 197 passengers and crew aboard a Paris to Miami airline December 22nd before he was tackled and the jetliner was diverted to Boston. He did attempt to use a weapon of mass destruction consisting of an explosive bomb placed in each of his shoes. The indictment said Reed received training from Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. In a statement, Tamar Burkhead, one of Reed's court-appointed attorneys, noted that her client is considered innocent until proven guilty. She added that the indictment does not allege that any of the crimes charged were committed on behalf of or to further the case of Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist organization. We're aware of no basis for such an allegation. All right, so they say that he had, you know, connections to Al-Qaeda, the prosecution team. And his father was interviewed. Apparently, he's a real dimwit. Now, that's what I gathered from this Robert Reed's father who was interviewed. He's a real dim bulb. Not too bright. Doesn't have anything going on. And the more I hear about these people that are a part of Al-Qaeda, the more Bin Laden sounds to me like Charles Manson. I mean, by that, I mean all these losers. You know what I'm saying? All of these international and intergalactic losers with nowhere to go and nothing to do, they flock to Afghanistan and get some training to blow up airplanes. And the minute that a group of people on an airliner rise up against these individuals, well, they can't do anything. They're ineffective. It's kind of like the Nazis, if you think about it. The Nazis were really good at killing unarmed people. They were probably the best in history. If you didn't have a gun, if you were under the age of, say, 12, if you were old and infirmed, or if you were just an unarmed man, the Nazis kicked some major ass. They could really do the job. They could kill with the best of them. The problem for the Nazis came when people picked up guns and turned them on them. In other words, when they came up against individuals that were armed, then they had a problem. They never were very good at fighting individuals who fought back. It took them weeks to put down the Jewish uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto, and we all know what happened in World War II. They basically were, when push came to shove and they had guns up against them, they were ineffective. The so-called SS, the fighting SS, well, they were the worst. The worst. Worst soldier in the war. Now, cut to the modern day. Al-Qaeda. Great at butchering up people who don't fight back. But the minute you raise a fist to them, now these guys, they can't find their ass with both hands. Here's a guy trying to light a shoe. He gets his ass kicked. Then those guys on that airliner out of Boston, or was it, I don't know where, yeah, it was out of Boston, and it crashed in Pennsylvania. They couldn't get anything done because guess what? People decided that they would fight back. Well, the Al-Qaeda, they're not too used to that. I bet you nowhere in their training were they given any tuition or any training on what to do with passengers that actually fight back. Because it's completely foreign to them. In the experience of hijackers, that is a foreign element. That is an unknown. That's a variable they know nothing about. Passengers that would actually fight back. So they probably had no training in it because Bin Laden probably told him, well, nobody's going to fight you guys. I mean, you look bad. You got on a ski mask. Look at you. You're looking good. What's your name?
My name's Slappy, Mr. Bin Laden.
That's great. You're good, huh? Huh? Where you from?
Palestine.
Palestine. All right. You look good. All right. You're kind of stupid looking, but that's okay.
Well, I have a drinking problem.
All right. No problem. Come on. We'll convert you to Islam, baby. You'll be all right.
Well, what if they fight back?
They're not going to fight back.
Well, sir, I'm afraid.
You're afraid? Don't worry. They're not going to fight back. So he's got all these losers that he collects into his little camp there. And they go running into buildings and shooting at targets. And the minute anybody raises a gun up against them, the minute they come up against a force that actually has the wherewithal and the capability to shoot back, they can't get anything done. They couldn't flush a toilet with both hands. There's dumbass sitting there trying to light his shoes on fire. He got matches out. He's trying to light his shoes on fire. Can't get that done. By the way, there is a little bit of a link between that and what happened today at that law school. Apparently, this guy was tackled by students. When they got a clear shot on the guy, they grabbed him and pulled him down. Otherwise, I'm sure more people would have died. So, you know, the feeling that I've got is that people are not going to sit there like tethered cows and allow themselves to be led off down the ramp to the slaughterhouse anymore. It's just not going to happen anymore. People are not going to allow airlines to be hijacked, and they're not really going to let some scumbag with a gun walk into a McDonald's or a cafeteria or a law school or into a law office and just have his way with people. Ain't going to happen anymore. But these guys are all suicide cases anyway, aren't they? That's all they want to do. They want to come up against the cop that's going to kill them. All right. So that's that story. Sorry to give you the bad news, but I suppose I shouldn't ignore it. This is a law student. By the way, if the guy didn't have a gun, he never would have been able to kill as many people as he did. I realize it's a difficult one for people to grasp. And he was tackled to the ground by unarmed people. Doesn't that sort of throw up in the air all of the arguments about gun ownership and the unlimited use of guns? And you know, doesn't that sort of take that and sort of spin it on its ass? If the guy didn't have a gun and he had a knife, let's say, I don't know how many people would have met their end, but probably nowhere near as many, if any at all. And if those guys, well, I mean, you say if the students had had guns, they would have been able to grease that guy. They didn't. Not only did they not have guns, they were able to wrestle the guy to the ground, and he's alive today to tell the tale. He's alive today so that we could actually punish this guy. If anybody had a gun, they would have killed him, right? Which I suppose would have been okay with me, but it's kind of nice to find out the reasoning and the thinking and the story behind these scumbags. That's why every now and again you want to put one of them on trial. It isn't always cool that they're blowing their own brains out. It isn't always cool that a cop kills the guy. I mean, I would like to know. So anyway, what's your name? Where are you from? And why did you do it? Those questions, in any order that you care to answer them in. Where are you from? What's your problem? And meet Mr. Fist. I don't know. So there's that. And then we found out that the longest tenured coach in the National Football League who hasn't won a Super Bowl, we think is Dan Reeves, but we could be wrong. And I wasn't really even talking about a guy that has coached just one team to the next team to the next team. I suppose Jim Mora. Oh, he got fired. Never mind him. I suppose Dan Reeves would be good if you're counting the guy who's gone from one team to the next. I mean with the same team. I'm going to go over to my little loyal NFL.com here in a second. I'm going to look it up. How long are guys keeping their jobs in that league these days? Not too long, I don't think. Guy like Dungy, playoffs 5 out of 6 years. Guy like Dennis Green, playoffs, 8 out of 9 years. That ain't good enough. No Super Bowl. Take a hike. I guess it comes to a point where the owner or whoever it is, the manager, looks at you and says, you know what, you've got us this far, you ain't going to get us any further, so bug off. Ah, that's fair. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me look it up here on my handy little website. Which road team has the best chance of winning this weekend? Baltimore, Green Bay, Oakland, or Philly? That's a no-brainer, Baltimore. That's on NFL.com, too. Look, I'll just answer all the questions for you guys, all right? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com is the place to go to get the best of the 2001 CD, your backstage pass, all the audio that you would ever hope for, that you would ever want. PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com. All the money from the sale of our 2001 CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood.
We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Boy, it is the anniversary of the Gulf War, too, in case you needed just a little bit more to make your day go better, to make you feel, just to put a skip in your step. Today's the anniversary of the Gulf War. This was the day that we began bombing Baghdad. I knew there was a reason why I got up this morning feeling good. I knew there was a reason why I got out of bed this morning and I said to myself, today's going to be a great day. I don't know why, but today is going to feel good. Wait a second. This is the anniversary of the day that we started dropping bombs on Baghdad. Anytime you can let out with that phrase, anytime that you can use the word Baghdad and bombs in the same sentence, something good is coming your way. Allied forces launched a major air offensive. I'll never forget where I was. I was at KVEN Ventura, January 16th, 1991. And I saw our news director, Keith Hayes, running down the hall. I said, what's up? He said, we just started bombing Baghdad. And I said, who boy? And then I said, well, I guess I'm off the air because I was right in the middle of my show that it happened. It happened like at 2 o'clock. Or no, wait a second. It happened a little bit later than that. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, West Coast time, maybe 4:15. And I went up front, and I saw a receptionist, and she was looking really nervous and just sad and nervous and worried. And I said to her, this is not bad, Christine. This is a good thing. And it was really kind of a strange time because we hadn't been at war since Vietnam. Nobody knew what it was going to mean. All we'd been hearing was the propaganda coming out of Hussein, which was that all of our soldiers were to be coming back in body bags at a record clip. He was going to send back bags of bodies like quicker than any bag boy at any market you ever seen bagged. We were going to be half in the bag. We're going to be fully in the bag before any of you could get in the bag. We'd be in the bag. And we were all going to die. We were going to die a horrible death. Our soldiers were going to be gassed and butchered up. And we had like 50,000 guys on the ground over there. Remember that? It was a huge force. Plus, we had Marines. Oh, the whole thing was... And they had the big debate that was on radio. How many of you guys are old enough to remember the big radio and TV debate in Congress over the resolution to declare war? That was huge. It went on all weekend. And there were people debating in favor of it. And there were people debating against it. And then the deadline passed where we told Hussein, get out of Kuwait. You have until this date. And I believe it was January 14th. I think it was even a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Was that a Monday, January 16th? Why do I want to say that was a Monday? Anyway, and the deadline came and it went, and Hussein had not pulled out of Kuwait. And we didn't do anything. It was like 2 days later. Boink. We started dropping the first ones. And we kept it going, baby, for about 6 weeks. And it was a shock to everybody because the thought was, we got all these guys on the ground. We're going to send in the tanks. We're going to send in the troops. This is going to be like storming the Ardennes Forest. This is going to be like hitting the beach at Iwo Jima. This is going to be like massing along the Ardennes lines or along the line at Verdun. This is going to be like the Russians swarming into eastern Prussia. This is going to be a ground war, man, with troops and guys and bullets and dead bodies and, oh, yeah, those body bags. And it was absolutely nothing of the sort. It was an air war, the first that any generation had ever seen to that extent. We just kept up with the ball. I got to tell you something. Who was the guy that came up with that game plan? Was that Schwarzkopf? Or was that Powell? Schwarzkopf was on the ground. Who was the guy that said, we're going to bomb them for 6 solid weeks? We are just going to drop the bombs, the daisy cutters, those concussive jobs. We may even throw a little nuke in there just to change of pace because you get a little bored with the same thing. Just a little change of pace, and we're going to drop them on those trenches, and we're going to drop them in the city, and we're going to use the smart bomb. Everybody sat with their jaw hitting the floor. People were sitting with their thumbs parked up their rear ends. They'd never seen anything like it before in their lives. Smart bombs, dumb bombs, bombs that, you know, got a high school diploma, all kind of bomb. Going in windows, going up asses, going inside of trucks. Nobody had ever seen anything like it before. And there's Schwarzkopf on TV. He's going, now here's a good one. You boys up front, can you see this? This is going to be beautiful. Watch this truck. And he shows a truck going over a bridge and That thing went in, and that guy was in an ashtray by nightfall. It was incredible. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. Nobody had seen anything like it before in their lives. So that by the time in February, and you'll recall it was around late February, that we finally committed the ground troops, the Iraqis were coming out of their holes with their hands up saying, please, take me. Bend me over and bugger me if you have to, but take me. Do anything to me. Please let me surrender. That was the strategy. That was the effect. It was brilliant. The only thing we didn't quite get right was that whole Saddam Hussein thing. And let me just clue you in on a fact of life. Because so many people are a little stupid about this one, so allow me to educate you. We were under the aegis of a UN proclamation, which was to get Hussein out of Kuwait. There's nothing about him being bounced from power. The United States, having come out of the Vietnam War, having violated all kinds of international laws, having secretly bombed Cambodia, secretly bombed Laos, having been engaged in torture of prisoners in Vietnam, we didn't want anything to do with anything that was even the least bit illegal. We wanted to do this the way the United International Community wanted us to do it, and we were going to do this baby by the book. And if they said all you're going to do is get Kuwait, get this Hussein out of Kuwait, that's all we were going to do. Had nothing to do with getting them out of power. So this conversation that people like to have so enjoyably about, well, the big mistake we made was we didn't get Hussein out of power. We couldn't. We were not mandated to do that. We were not allowed to do that. It would have been illegal for us to do that. It would have been a violation of international law for us to do that. Do you get it now? Finally? There was no option to get Hussein out of power. No legal option. But it was beautiful. It was quite an event. And they put the Marines off the coast of Kuwait as if they were going to do one of their classic amphibious landings. And the Kuwaitis believed it. The Iraqis believed it. Hussein had all kinds of booby traps and landmines on the beach. He had all of his troops ready to just butcher up the Marines once they hit the beach. And guess what happened? They stayed sitting out there in the ocean because the Army came up their ass side. The Army went up the back side, up the western. They basically flanked them. And the next thing you know, here's the Army in the west. There's the Marines sitting out there on the east. Party's over, Saddam. And then probably the most beautiful, just the most beautiful moment in the war came on that day when the Iraqi scum were fleeing Kuwait. And they were on the highway with all these looted valuables that they had taken from homes and businesses. And they were going north on a highway out of Kuwait to Iraq. With all of this loot, all of the things that they had stolen, hightailing it out of there like the rats that they were, right? Well, guess what happened? Our Air Force spotted them. Guy called in a few more jets, called in a couple more to coalition jets, and they turned that road. Later, they nicknamed it the Highway to Hell. And every living thing on it, they scorched. They flamed. And they went back later, like 2 days later, because you got to wait for the metal to cool. You do. You have to wait for the metal to cool before you go in and start seeing how many you actually cooked. And there wasn't a living thing left on that highway. The Air Force, Marine, Navy, all the coalition guys, all the British, went in and flamed every single living thing on that road. I don't know how many they killed that day, but it was a fantastic display. Yay! It was great. The Marine Air guys called it the Highway to Hell, which is exactly what they stuck him on. So there we were, 6 months later, 6 months after Hussein said, we're going to open the furnaces of hell for your soldiers. Cut to 6 months later, the only freaking furnace that got opened up, baby, was for your guys. And they got cooked pretty good. I'm Phil Hendry. I feel like I need to conclude that little lecture with I'm Phil Hendry. But that was it. And that was on this date, January 16th. 1991, a real party. Let's do it again. You find that, what's his ass, Osama bin Laden? You let me know. All right, 1-800-449. Anybody know where Osama bin Laden is? Give us a call. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The other news is Adam Ant is in the Nut House. I could have called that. Adam Ant is in the mental ward in Britain. Now, that's two of them this year. Mariah Carey went into the Nut Ward and Adam Ant. No, that's two of them. That's one last year, one this year. I'm sorry. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Todd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. I was just going to tell you, Bill Cowher is actually the longest-tenured NFL coach without winning a Super Bowl.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's been at the Steelers for 10 years.
And has that been with the same team or just the longest guy to be working in the
NFL?
Well,
he hasn't head coached the Steelers the whole time, but he has head coached the Steelers the whole time, but he's been an assistant at the Chiefs. And I
No, but I mean as a head working as a head coach in the National Football League.
He's been a head coach for the Steelers since 92.
That's got to be the longest guy.
And he was never a head coach anywhere else.
Right.
He was an assistant. He was a defensive coordinator at the Chiefs, and he was a secondary coach at the Browns.
That's why Dan Reeves, I don't think, is a good answer, because he was with the Broncos, and then he left and went to the Falcons. I think he did it all in within 12 months. All right, cool.
It was Danny Green until about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah? Hello? It was? Danny Green? Oh, whatever. Okay, Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher, by the way, is a great coach, and it's too bad Pittsburgh won't win the Super Bowl. So moving along, they're not going to. Who's going to beat St. Louis? Come on, get real. Let's get our feet on the ground, all right? We've had fun. We've had our noses in the nitrous oxide all night, okay? It's time to get back to the beer. We've been standing in line, man, waiting for the nitrous oxide. We've been standing in line waiting to do the balloons. Get back to the beer. There's no way anybody other than the St. Louis Rams win a Super Bowl this year. And believe me when I tell you, it is a painful thing for me to tell you that, having been a Ram fan for as long as they were in L.A., and now wishing them nothing but ill will. It's just fun, that's all. It's just fun. I got a friend of mine. Hey, how come you don't root for the Rams anymore? Why? Well, I mean, what do you mean, why? They're the Rams. No, they're not in L.A. anymore, are they? Well, so what? They're still the Rams. So what? I've got to root for the St. Louis Rams. Get real. Not rooting for the St. Louis Rams. I'm not rooting for any team whose games I can't go to. Can get in the car and drive to the game. Who's your favorite NFL team right now? I got none. I mean, there's just some teams that I'd like to see do better than other teams. I like speaking to Denny Green. I like Denny Green. I like Minnesota. Hope they do it. Not my favorite team. I had a favorite team. They were called the Los Angeles Rams. Now they don't exist any longer. Now they've moved to St. Louis. They've won themselves a Super Bowl. They're about to win another Super Bowl. They couldn't pee on your grave any more thoroughly. They couldn't mock the fans they had in Los Angeles any more convincingly than they are doing right now. And they're no friend of mine. Now all I want to see them do is cry, bleed, fail, whatever you want to call it. And I don't care who does it, starting with whoever they're playing this weekend. Who is it? Philly? I don't know who they're... Oh, Green Bay. Good luck. Green Bay ain't going to do jack. Green Bay going to lose out there, or in there, I should say, at the... What is it called? The Ram Dome, RCA, St. Louis, arches over the some kind of a dome on that carpeting. And then they'll play Chicago, and they'll beat them, and then they'll play Pittsburgh, and they'll beat them, okay? So just get your fantasies in line, all right? 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if you heard, but Britney Spears has been named. I had it here a minute ago. Britney Spears has been named the Fun Fearless Female of the Year by Cosmo Magazine. We didn't really know why until we heard it. I think it's because she went in her diapers. She's the Fun Fearless Female of the Year for doing it again. Well, what else? What's fearless about her? She's fun. A little tough when you're not eating your fiber. All right, so anyway, she did her in her diapers, and she's the Fun Fearless Female of the Year because she can't make it to the bathroom. That's as far as I can understand it to be the case. Sneak peek at this year's list for the Fun Fearless Female of the Year. Christina Ricci, Nikki Taylor, Alicia Silverstone, and a bunch of women that I had never heard of in my life, starting with Ashley Bunfield. Who's that? Ashley Banfield, she's from where? She's from CNN. Then there's Beyonce Knowles, Nelly Furtado, Mary Turd, Betty something. I don't recognize any of these names. Fun Fearless Female of the Year. I'm not that innocent. Bug off. All right. So anyway, Adam Ant's in the Nut House, and I think it's only fitting that he be in the Nut House because I didn't get that guy's whole act to begin with. I thought I was nuts for the only guy that didn't buy any of his records. Although Chris Pelton, my engineer, is a engineer and screener, is a huge Adam Ant fan going way back. British pop singer Adam Ant has been committed to the Royal Free Hospital. Ant, whose real name is Stuart Goddard, was brought there by the police. Asked why they brought him there, they said the guy's name is Adam Ant. You figure it out. The incident came just 24 hours after he was arrested and accused of pulling out a gun at a North London pub. Well, what's unusual about that? Nothing, but in England it's pretty unusual. In America, no big thing. In the United States, you pull a gun in a pub, man. Well, you just go back to the studio and cut another album. But in Britain, you pull a gun in a pub and they put you in a rubber freaking room, my man. Don't that make sense? Guy pulls a gun in a bar in America, and the cops frisk him, and then the guy goes back to the studio and cuts another rap album. Guy pulls a gun in a pub in England, they do the sensible thing. They put him in a soft room. Ant was committed on Monday. A British tabloid, The Mirror, says it received a rambling phone call from Ant from inside the hospital. The paper quoted Ant as saying... The paper quoted Ant. The paper quoted Ant as saying, quote, they've put me in the Alice in Wonderland ward because they think I'm crazy. He says the whole thing is a conspiracy. As he puts it, they're out to get me. I'm not mad. You know, here's a thing that you need to know. Do you guys know how you can tell if you're nuts? Do you know? Seriously. Here's how you can tell you're nuts. When you think everybody else is nuts and you're fine. See, there's no such thing. If you think you're losing your mind, you're healthy. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you, because if you think you're losing your mind, then you can't be losing your mind. I went through this once in my life. I wonder if I'm flipping my lid. No, I couldn't be flipping my lid. Otherwise, I wouldn't know that I'm flipping my lid. So I talked to a couple of head shrinkers. They told me the same thing. Every guy that's whacked, every guy that ought to be in a soft room, everybody that ought to be in the Laughing Academy, just rolled in front of the window and get a little of the midday sun, all of those guys... Like, they think they're Napoleon? They think they're fine. They think they're fine. They think that the rest of the world is goofy. So you see a guy in there with a three-cornered hat, and he's got his hand in his jacket. He's Napoleon. And you say to him, no, you're not. Okay, sure, I'm not. Oh, boy. You know, he figures you have lost your freaking mind because you don't recognize him as who he is. Napoleon, Jesus Christ, John Lennon, you know, fill in the blank. If, on the other hand, the guy says, Doc, do you think I'm going crazy? That's the first indication of Dr. Well, no, you're not going nuts because you figure you are going nuts, okay? So, Chris, take it easy, man. Rest assured, you're all right. 1-800-449-8686, because he said to me earlier, he said, am I going crazy or does a Coke machine take a buck and a half now? I said, no, you're fine. 1-800-449-8686, philhenryshow.com, our website. Pick up the best of the Phil Henry Show Year 2001 for only $20, $350 shipping and handling. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. None of it goes to Adam Ant.